The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
What I'd like to do this evening is to condense some meditation instructions that the Buddha gave, and then once it's condensed into ordinary English, then explain to you how it appears in the discourses of the Buddha and the instructions he gave for meditation. I think most of us assume that, often assume that the Buddha was a great meditator and also a great meditation teacher. And certainly he started a tradition of meditation in Buddhism that has continued down through these centuries. Very simple way, three-step process for understanding or for the instructions that he gives for meditation is to recognize, to feel, and to relax. Isn't that nice? So to recognize what's happening, to see what's happening, identify what's happening, and then once you've identified it, to feel or to experience what's there much more carefully or deeply. So step into it, enter into the experience once you know it, what it is. And then once you have known it and felt it well, known and really experienced it, then relax. For some people, it's a huge thing to be able to identify what is happening in their experience. For some people, they're too busy with their thoughts and their activities, and they don't recognize that they're angry or that they're sad, or they don't recognize what they're believing, what they're thinking. They don't recognize the stress or the strain their muscles are living under. And so it takes a while sometimes for people to wake up to the full range of our human experience, not to have blinders on and only seeing certain parts of it, only see what we want to see or something, but to be able to see, to really recognize what's happening here. And in meditation practice, we are supported in this process of looking and seeing deeply by being really quiet, stilling ourselves. Because when we're really quiet, when the mind gets quiet, when the body gets quiet, when the heart gets quiet, then it's possible to see much more panoramically. It's possible to see much more deeply. So it helps us to recognize what's going on. And for some people, the recognition is very, very powerful. For some people, just to see clearly what's going on is liberating for them, or kind of clarifies or wakes them up to what's happening in a very important way. Also, because recognition can seem somewhat cognitive, a little bit abstract, you know, recognize what's there. Some people cannot be so interested in it. It's closely akin to the practice of seeing what's here. And to clearly recognize and clearly see what's here is very close to an act of love. That I have met many, many people now over these many years as a teacher. And one of the very deep forms of suffering that some people carry is when, as small children, they were not seen. And to not be seen as children is almost the same, or is the same, as not being loved. And it's very hard to grow up healthy way without having that reference point of someone who really sees you well and deeply. And so the recognition part of the practice is we learn to do this for ourselves. We learn to see clearly what is here. And that recognition is, I'd like to think of as an act of love, to stop and really look what is here, and to be honest about what's here, to see the full range of what's here, what's really wonderful and beautiful about ourselves, and also what is challenging about ourselves. For some people, this first step to recognize might be the primary step of practice for a long time, to somehow keep coming back into the present moment and seeing what's here. Come back and see. The next step is to feel, to experience it more fully. And this is where what started off as being cognitive, recognition of something, seeing something, becomes a felt experience, becomes we enter into the experience. The Buddha talked about entering and abiding in our experience of what's going on. And so to really feel, so if we feel angry, to enter into the experience of anger and feel it. Meditation is a very good place to do this, because in meditation you're committed to sitting still for your period of meditation. It's a great place to feel rage, for example, because you're not going to hurt anybody. You're not going to move. So you can really feel and experience it. Or sadness, or the whole thinking process, not necessarily what you're thinking, but when there's a lot of churning, a lot of agitated thinking going on, it's quite a significant thing to feel, to enter into the felt sense experience of what thinking is like. Or to feel our body. We live in a culture, I think, that I suspect is more disconnected from from our bodies than most cultures probably have in human history. Not that means all of you, but there's a lot of it in our society. And so to enter into our experience means to feel it in our body, to be with it in our felt sense experience of the body. How does it feel right now? And one of the advantages of really feeling or experiencing in the body whatever is going on is that the body is not a story. And so it helps this movement out of story making, out of just staying in the head around things. And it also helps keep us in the present moment. When we really feel or experience something, we can only experience something in the present moment. And when we allow ourselves to experience something fully, take the time to experience it fully, then we get to see it more thoroughly. And there's a wonderful reciprocity that goes on between seeing and feeling. The more we can feel, the more we can see more deeply. The more we can see, the more we have to feel or to experience. Some people are in a hurry, and so they don't give themselves the time to feel, to experience what's going on. And it might take a long time to really take it in, really let it register, really what's happening. The people in a hurry sometimes, people in a hurry sometimes when it's uncomfortable what we have to experience. And it's counterintuitive to want to stay present for what's uncomfortable. And so you want to get rid of it as quickly as you can, or fix it as quickly as you can. But the path of mindfulness is a path that is not about fixing quickly or getting rid of quickly, but really a very mature attitude of really getting to know something well. And sometimes that takes willing to experience it for a while, hang out with it. So this example I keep using of anger or sadness, to really commit yourself, this is the time to get to know it. This is not the time to fix it, to avoid it, to analyze it. This is the time just to feel and experience it. Part of the power of this kind of practice of really letting yourself experience something is that it's an alternative to being for and against an experience, being for and against what's happening. Many people really react right away to what's happening, and they have preferences and push things away or try to fix them or hold on to them. And this movement of being for and against is not a movement of freedom, of liberation. And to take the time to not to feel and experience and put aside our preferences, to put aside our for and against, is a very powerful thing to do. It's kind of liberating in some ways, that also. The third step is to relax. And isn't that nice? What's nice about that, one of the things that's nice about that, I think significant about this, is the relaxing comes after seeing and experiencing. Take your time to really know something, but once you know it and experienced it, then relax. Soften around it. Is there holding? Is there some tightening up in the system, in the body, in the mind, in the heart around it? Is there some contraction, pulling away? What's going on physically? And this idea of relaxing, for me, has a very strong connotations of something we feel physically. And so we take this physical experience we have, and this is why entering into it and feeling it fully is so useful, because it gives us access to the places where we can relax. And I don't know if it's true for everyone. I think everyone has their own way. But there's a lot of people for whom there is so many subtle movements of tension within the body. You know, it's not just the shoulders being tense, you know, just, you know, it's just Very, very subtle little minutiae of muscles can tighten up and be held. Even when we're sitting, you know, in a relaxed way, there could be little muscles there tightening up, the muscles of the thigh or thigh, or the, you know, the fingers are a little bit, you know, all kinds of places. And so it's interesting, like in meditation, to spend time going through the body, and maybe systematically, some people do the body scan, but just go through different parts of the body somewhat systematically, and see if there's some ways that you can release the muscles, relax what's going on. A very meaningful exercise that I learned in yoga many, many years ago was the idea of letting the muscles fall away from the bones. I don't know if they fall away, but the image of the muscles kind of falling away or releasing from the bones was meaningful for me. And so I do that movement sometimes of releasing it from the bones. And I don't know if I don't know what exactly happens, but in a very minute little way, it feels like there's a kind of releasing and opening up. Another image that I've used for relaxing is to let my flesh and my muscles and everything expand outward into the skin. Like the skin is like the balloon and everything else is on the air that expands the balloon. Just let it kind of like fall out and expand. For me, that kind of helps kind of things soften and relax as well. Maybe that's a strange image for the rest of you, but so to take time to relax and to soften. Tension in the body is often a symptom of wanting something. And so if we can relax the body, that wanting or that impulse, that motivation behind tends to also relax. The mental force that makes us tense relaxes when we relax the body. So those three things. And if you just do those three things in your meditation, you'll go really far. Just recognize, take your time to feel, and then relax. So that's my condensed version of the Buddha's instruction. Now, I will try to show you how this arises out of the Buddha's teachings in a little bit more complicated way also shows how this can be applied to ever-deepening areas of our inner life, to our life. And often Buddha's teaching are presented as a gradual unfolding, a gradual path that goes, if you use the metaphor deep, ever deeper, goes further and further towards liberation and freedom. And this particular instruction comes from a teaching the Buddha gave on 16 steps of mindfulness of breathing. So anapanasati. So don't be deterred by the number 16, that you're going to sit here and hear the whole list. These Buddhists have lists. These 16 steps to meditating with your breath are divided into four groups called four tetrads. And each of the tetrads, as you look at how they're described, they offer four practices to do. Those practices can be understood to be variations of see, or recognize, feel, and relax. So the first tetrad has to do with your body, your breathing and your body. Take the time to recognize how you're breathing. Check out your breath. Get to know it. As you get to know your breath, begin to feel the experience of your body. Experience your whole body experience. So as you settle into your breathing, as you stay with your breath, what people often find out is their body becomes more available. They start feeling your body more fully. Take time then to feel and experience your body. And then relax your body. Relax what's called, what the word is, to relax the bodily formations. It's a technical word, and the formations in your body are those aspects of your body that are formed by your mind, by what the activities of your mind. So if you're afraid and your shoulders go up, those 10 shoulders are formations. They're formed by the mental activities. If your stomach goes in, or there's all kinds of your posture and all kinds of ways in which experience of our body are formed by the activity of our mind. Make sense? And so that's what we relax. The extra stuff we burden our body with because our mind is, you know, doing all its machinations. The second tetrad is once the body is somewhat relaxed, then you take a step further into the inner life, and you feel the whatever satisfaction or joy or delight or ease or something that has come from that relaxation. So hopefully relaxation feels good, and it kind of feels lighter or something. And so this is where you start allowing yourself to feel that the pleasant, enjoyable feelings that can be present when you meditate. Some people never got the message that it's okay to enjoy yourself in meditation. But actually to enjoy yourself in meditation is one of the ways to support you to go deeper into it. But don't expect you're always supposed to be enjoying it. Some people are addicted to wanting things to be pleasant. And mature meditation practice involves being willing to be present for actually how you are. But as you do this process and how you are, and be with it, then at some point this inner life opens up to some feelings of satisfaction or joy or ease or something. At that point, you recognize that. You recognize what's nice, how you're more relaxed, more settled, more present. And then it says you experience and feel the mental formations. So remember, the bodily formations are those aspects of your body that are there because of what goes on in the mind. Well, there's also what goes on in your mind is there with how you use your mind. So if you are really anxious about something, you can feel that your mind might be spinning very fast, or it might feel very small and contracted and tight because you're so preoccupied with your particular concern. If you've had a nice nap and everything's fine, you have no obligations and there's nothing to do, you wake up and you're very happy, you might feel that your mental formations or your mind is more characterized by being just open, expansive, and relaxed, and quiet and calm. So what we're doing with the mind affects what the mind or the mind state feels like. So now the instructions are to feel this mental state, this mental activity that you do. Maybe the word activity maybe is good. Feel the mental activity. Once you've felt it, then it says relax the mental formations. I find this very helpful with a busy thinking mind. And some of you have heard this instructions from me. And that is, many people, when they think a lot, and very powerful thinking, spinning around, you can let go of it maybe for a moment, but it comes right back, or you can't even let go of it because you keep thinking. Most people are concerned with what they're thinking about. And so they're kind of blinded or attracted to the content of their thought, what they're worried about, what they're angry with, what they want or something. When we do meditation practice, a way to turn and experience thinking is not to look at what we're thinking about, just let the content of thought take care of themselves, but to feel what the process of thinking feels like for you. And so when you're thinking a lot, what is activated? What is physically activated in your body? Now, you can see it in other people sometimes. You can see someone thinking really hard, and their forehead has furrow in it. And, you know, their eyes are kind of narrow. And so they've tightened up. And that's part of that, connected to that mental kind of experience of thinking that's independent of the content. Or people can feel that their mind is spinning. They feel it's very fast. The thoughts are going very fast. Or they feel that the thoughts are very loud. The thinking is happening very loud. Or they feel that there's maybe a physical pressure or tension or strain connected to all that thinking. Some people are surprised to discover that when they tune in to not the content of their thoughts, but what it's like to be thinking, discover that they're exhausted. I mean, not conventionally tired, like maybe they got a good night's sleep, but that engine has been going on overtime for decades. And they had no idea because they never noticed, never turned our attention to it. And finally, if you turn attention to it, it's like, wow, I am so tired of all this thinking. And, I mean, thinking's okay, but, you know, vacation's okay too. You know, it's okay to stop. Please, you know. And so it's possible then to, it's really helpful, I think, to turn around and feel, let yourself experience the tactile, physical quality of what it feels like to be thinking a lot. And once you recognize that, it's kind of, I call it like the thinking muscle. For me, it's often in my head, you know, behind the forehead, kind of where the brain area is, if I'm thinking a lot, that's what seems to be activated. The blood seems to flow there, or there's a tension there, or pressure there, or just a lot of energy there that's going on. And then, as if it's a muscle, I relax the thinking muscle, that thinking stuff. And if I don't do that, if we don't relax the thinking muscle, the tension, the pressure that's wanting us to think, that's connected to thinking, that pressure, we can let go of the thoughts, the content, but the pressure remains, and it just remains, so it's just ready to pump out more thoughts. And you wonder, why can't you stop thinking? Well, the pressure to think is so strong. So it helps to relax that. So that's the second tetrad. The third tetrad is to go one step further in, and that is as the mind state begins to relax, as the mind activity begins to relax, then the mind state, the general overarching state of consciousness, the mind state, becomes more pleasant, becomes more expansive, becomes more transparent or lucid or something, becomes very nice. And so then to begin appreciating what this mind state is like, and then to feel this mind state, what that's like, experience that more fully. And as we start feeling, experiencing it more fully, the usual tendency is the mind state starts to get concentrated or settled or unified, collected. Various words that are connected to the word samadhi, to get concentrated. And as the mind gets concentrated, it gets softer. The mind state gets softer, more open. And then the instruction, it doesn't say relax now, but it's in the family of relaxation. It says liberate the mind. Isn't that nice? So liberate and relax are closely connected. So I don't think this means ultimate liberation necessarily, but it means to let go of what you're holding on to. Because as you start experiencing the mind state, the heart state more deeply, you can feel what it's like to actually be clinging and holding, and it doesn't feel good. And it can feel optional. And so at some point, as this process goes along, people begin to let go. They don't want to hold on anymore. As we let go, the mind lets go more and more deeply, then we move into the fourth tetrad. And here in the fourth tetrad, when you're no longer holding on to ideas and concepts and things, we don't no longer see things as being so permanent. Permanence is a concept that's attributed to phenomena by how the mind conceives. And when the mind is no longer attached to its conceptions of things, then what becomes apparent is how things are quite impermanent, the flux, the change of life. And this flux and change of life is the doorway into the deeper freedom that Buddhism has to offer. And so then as you start experiencing this feeling and experience, first you recognize the impermanence, and then we really experience and taking it in, then there's a further desire to not cling to anything, not to hold on to anything. Until finally, the last step, the relaxing part in the family of relaxation, the last step in this, the 16 steps, is the word relinquishment. And I don't know what the Pali word is anymore, but the English word I love, relinquishment, big word. I don't really know what relinquishment means exactly, but I'll tell you what I think it should mean. What I like about relinquishment is it's a kind of letting go. You let go, but it's not just letting go. It's letting go with a kind of like a decision. I'm done with that. Enough. And there's something very wise in certain kinds of areas of our life to say, I'm done with it. Enough of that. It's one thing to let go of it, you know, for a little bit, but to say, I'm finished with that. So, you know, there's all kinds of things people do which are not so healthy. I'm done with it. So one of the great things to be finally sick and tired of and be done with, I'm sick and tired of that. There's a healthy way of being sick and tired of something. I mean, I think if you're really doing this practice well, sooner or later, you're just sick and tired of certain things. So one of the things I hope that sooner or later you become sick and tired of doing and you relinquish it, I have enough of that, is complaining. Complaining. It doesn't do anybody any good, including you. There's one great, great definition of enlightenment. Now, when I give you the definition, none of you will ever want to be enlightened. When you're enlightened, you have nothing more, no reason anymore to complain about anything. Isn't that nice? So much for your interest in enlightenment. What would you rather have? Ability to complain or to get enlightened? So at some point, people get tired of certain activities, complaining, gossiping. A great one to be had enough of this, I went through this, was enough of being anxious. You know, it wasn't easy. I had a lot of anxiety for years and years. It was not easy to overcome it. It took a long time. But there came a point where the anxiety was not that strong anymore, and my mind was stronger, and I could see it clearly, and I just, you know, enough. it didn't go away once and for all, but I kind of had this inner feeling of relinquishment. I'm done with that. I'm not seduced by it. I'm not interested anymore. Enough of this. I'm not going to, give it much authority anymore. And that was a very important step for me. So to recognize what's happening, to experience what's happening, and then to relax. As you do this process, this last step of relaxing can take different forms. At some point it takes something more profound than relaxing. It takes a form of letting go. As the letting go goes deeper, and the whole process goes deeper, then it's more than just letting go for the moment or letting go, but it's a deeper letting go that comes together with wisdom or a commitment or the healthiest, most possible way of saying you're fed up with, enough, I'm done with. Or it could be a relinquishment because we know something better. We know there's a peace that's so much better than, what we're, all agitated, being agitated about or something. And so we relinquish a deeper transformation. Relinquishment, for me, is a little more permanent or lasting. It's a transformation. We're transformed or changed in some important way. Whereas this earlier step of letting go, we're not just changed, we just have relief. We have relief from not no longer holding on, but we're not changed. But the relinquishment has to be a transformation. So that was complicated, I know. And so I apologize for those of you who didn't follow all those steps. But that's why I started with recognize, feel, and relax. And we'll end. Recognize, feel, and relax. That's all you need to remember today. So we have about 10 minutes. And if any of you have any questions about that or comments or something else you want to raise, you're welcome to take the mic and say something. Can you pass the other one to the man there?
So, just an observation with myself. I remember just recognize, feel, and relax. It was interesting before. Usually, kind of walk before I come in here on Sunday mornings. But for some reason, there was a little bus stop around the corner, and I was like, I'm just going to sit, close my eyes, and meditate for maybe 2 minutes. And then for some reason, I just felt the urge to do that for some reason before I came in. So, but sometimes, when you're meditating, you're just there with your thoughts or you're there with your emotions. And it was kind of amazing. I only sat down for maybe 2 minutes or something. But it seemed more constructive than some of the times when I'm, meditating for 45 minutes or something. But it was just this pain that came up that I did not want to sit with. And then I asked myself, when is this pain going to go away? And then it kind of just hit me. I was like, wait, it's not going anywhere. So just accept it and sit with it and be with it. And then something shifted right in that moment. And this all took place within 30 seconds. So, I just thought to share it.
I see. So when you finally accepted it, then something gave away.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice, very nice. So that's third step of relaxing sometimes happens on its own. It's not necessarily something we have to do. So that you did the second step by experiencing it, just allowing yourself to be with it. And the relaxing or releasing happened on its own, right? Great. Yes.
Hello. This is okay. It works. So I was wondering. Wow, I had all that time to think about how to say this, and I didn't use any of it. What about this feeling? I mean, I know I have it. I don't think I'm alone. Where that some habit, some thing, some tension inside of you is probably bad for you, is hurting you, and that you would feel better without it, but you don't want to let go of it anyway, because it's sort of basically how you see yourself. It's a large part of who you think you are, and you don't really know what you're going to be without it.
Yeah, I feel lost without it.
Yeah, so what would you say about that?
I think, I don't know what I would say, but what I would do is have a lot of compassion for it. A lot of respect. I think that when we have attachment and holding on to something because it gives us a sense of self or security or makes us, comfort, or these are profound things that something in our psyche and our heart needs it, and so be careful with and respectful for it. So begin that way, and compassionate. It's okay. It's not like you're bad for it or wrong. It's just how causes and conditions to come together so that right now this is something inside of you thinks it needs. So start there, and then begin looking at it more deeply. Take a deeper look at how does this work? And you might look at the beliefs that are connected to it. You might look at what it really feels like. Sometimes it's only by feeling something deeply that we experience the cost of it. At some point it becomes clear that the benefits that we are getting from something like that don't even balance out with the costs. The costs are greater. And then we begin, maybe it's okay to let go. And then it's also okay to experiment. If you're getting some benefit from holding on to something, once you get a sense of what that benefit is, then you can ask yourself the question, Are there better ways of getting that benefit? So if, for example, a person feels secure and holding on to something, because this is what they're familiar with, security is a good thing to have. Are there more healthy ways to feel secure? And so then with that question, you might be able to investigate and find some other ways to get the same benefit. Once you find that, then it's easier to let go of what you're attached to. So those are some things that come to mind. So be very respectful of it, explore it, get to know it better, and then look for alternatives that helps it relax. Does that seem okay?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Hi. one thing that I found very useful in driving is holding the steering wheel much more loosely. And I find that every time I'm tightly gripping the steering wheel, I'm very intense, very tense, just what's next, you know. Whereas when I just let it go a little bit,
nice.
The whole feeling is much more relaxed about what's happening around me.
Nice.
I feel a lot safer and better in my driving.
Wonderful.
What's going on?
And some people, it would be good if they were more relaxed around their right foot.
As you were saying that, the three things, I noticed that sometimes I do them, but not necessarily in that,
sure.
in that order.
Yes.
So I'm immediately try to relax, and then sometimes I feel, and sometimes I... So it's the awareness of these three things, but it's not necessarily in that exact order.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be in that. It doesn't have to be in the same order, and it doesn't have to be all three. At different times, different one of those three steps seems like the important one. Sometimes it might be a long time where all you do is recognize. It might take months even just to recognize. That's all a person does. And other times it's feeling that the person mostly does. And other times it might be what's really the exploration is how do we let go? How do we relax? So sometimes you can do all three steps in 10 seconds. Sometimes you spend a long time with one. And whatever way that's helpful for you.
Thanks.
There's a mic here.
Hello.
Green, should be green light.
Oh, there it is. Okay. I had an experience that was prolonged that had created a lot of anxiety in my body. And that experience is gone now. But I find there's a residual anxiety that's still there.
Yes.
That comes up by itself. Without any thoughts that I can perceive or without anything happening externally in the world to create it. And I just wanted you to speak to that and how to work with that.
Yeah, it's a known phenomena that there are residual effects of holding or tension or in our system that hasn't been dissipated, hasn't had a chance to relax fully. There's a variety of things a person could do. Since we're here doing meditation, I'll mention the meditation approach, and that is take the time to do what I just said. Take the time to really find where that residual feeling, tension or holding might be in your system, and really recognize it that's there, and then go and feel it more fully. Take time to make space, like this act of love, just really being there for it. A nice image that for this feeling, something that's challenging like this maybe, I don't know if it's how challenging it is, but something like this, is to imagine awareness as like two cupped hands that come from underneath and just gently hold it, the experience. So it rests in the palm of awareness in a sense. So you're not using awareness like a sledgehammer or trying to fix it or do something or probe at it. You're just kind of holding it in a supportive way in awareness. And then, are there ways to that you can release it or let the energy flow? And sometimes, when there's residual tension or holding or feelings left over from some kind of something, sometimes something needs to move. And sometimes just energy has to move. Sometimes people like if in a car accident, there's like this residual stuff from the fear and different things. And sometimes. You feel that, then you have to letting it move, the energy move through the body, or kind of release. It helps to kind of free it because it's frozen. Yeah, and it's amazing. You know, things can stay for decades without giving some care and attention to helping it release. Some things can stay for a very, very long time. So, okay, one last one.
So sometimes I find that I recognize and then I start to feel it, and then I immediately just kind of relax out of it. And it feels like a boarding out of it.
Could be, yes. So you mean kind of like you're recoiling or you're jumping out of it?
I don't know if that's what it is, but it seems like there's more there.
Yeah.
But it just, whoosh,
great.
Just kind of...
It's great that you see that. You know, the first kind of approach to all these things when you see something like that is to congratulate yourself. I see something, you know, it was great. And then, if you don't spend time getting to know it better, look for the next time. Next time it happens, kind of study that phenomena. See what happens. And you might have to do that 100 times, but just next time you go into it and experience it, kind of know, when I go into this, then I pull out or pop out. What's going on here? Let me look more carefully. And after the 50th time, the 60th time of doing that, oh, look, now I understand what's going on. But it takes familiarity. It takes a repeated familiarity of being present and studying and being with it until it reveals itself what's going on. Okay? Great. So thank you very much. And I'll be back in, I think it's 4 weeks, probably the last Monday of March. And have a wonderful March.